Welcome to the Layer 8 podcast. This podcast is in conjunction with the Layer 8 conference, which is happening for the third year on Saturday, June 6th, 2020 in Providence, Rhode Island. The Layer 8 conference is the first one to solely focus on social engineering and open source intelligence, or OSINT, gathering. Social engineers and OSINT investigators always seem to have a great story, and you can hear many of those stories through their presentations at the conference. But not every story can fill a whole presentation, and not all storytellers can get to the conference, which brings us here. This podcast will only be stories told by the investigators themselves. No interviews, no slides, just stories. Some might be as short as 5 minutes, some may even go for 45 minutes. I hope you'll enjoy them. For our first episode, we have Trevor O'Donnell from Rapid7. Trevor tells us about a particularly difficult social engineering engagement where he needed to engage staff through phone calls. But it was a small company where everyone knows each other and sits near each other. Let's hear Trevor tell us how he used good reconnaissance to build rapport and get people talking. Take it away, Trevor.
So, after all the years that I've been doing this, I believe that the one thing I've learned more than anything else is that social engineering engagement is won or lost long before you even start the actual social engineering. And it really is based on the foundation of the recon that you've done from the start. A couple recent engagements I've done are good examples of this. They're both vishing engagements where I had to call people from these organizations on the phone and try to extract some sort of sensitive data about the client from them. One in particular was a bunch of far-flung small satellite offices, which at first I was kind of like, this is going to be a real challenge because there's like maybe 5 or 6 people in each one of these offices I have to call. And they all know each other pretty well. How am I going to pull this off? And I know that they're part of a larger corporate organization. And just the more I dug into the company, I spent a good week before the engagement, just kind of getting to know the company. Whenever I had a little spare minute here and there waiting for a scan or something, I would just go online using Google, LinkedIn, Glassdoor, any little thing I could find out about this company, just kind of reading through. And I found out pretty quick on Indeed, there were some reviews from previous employees that the company had some real issues with not listening to the employees and making major policy changes without consulting with anybody in the lower echelons and just imposing these changes on the company. And people across the company were just really upset about this and just struggling to try and keep up with all the changes. And one of the things they mentioned specifically was computer security policy changes. They kept changing things and adding in new appliances onto the network that caused them to have to change the way they logged in, and they finally get used to it, and then a month later they change it again, and people were getting really frustrated. I said, I can use this. I can really use this. So I started doing some research, mostly on LinkedIn, to try and find out who are the IT guys for this corporate conglomerate. And I found this one particular individual that I could pose as. I assumed his identity. And I would start calling around to these different places. And just knowing this information about the company, I knew kind of what types of people were in each satellite office and what kind of level I would have to talk on. And I called in and I would just say, hey, it happened to be on a holiday weekend too that was coming up. I was having a hard time getting people on the phone. Luckily, I was only required to do 6 calls instead of something like some awful number like 100 or 25 even. 6 calls I could pull off, but it was hard getting people online. Finally, I'd start getting people on. I'd say, oh, man, I'm so glad you answered the phone. I've been trying to get a hold of people all weekend. Maybe you can help me out. The guy's like, yeah, sure, what's up? I told him who I was. I'm a so-and-so from IT security in the corporate office. I've been given this wonderful task of calling around, talking to everybody. We've been hearing that there's a lot of frustration and difficulty being caused by some of the computer security requirements that are being imposed. You have any issues with that? And they'd always be like, oh man, are you kidding me? Yeah. And immediately there's a rapport there. It's like they want to gush about these complaints they've got. And here I am coming along. I'm giving them a chance to make the voice heard to the higher ups. And they were just ready to talk. And I just start asking questions, starting out with simple things like, well, first of all, just let me know what kinds of things have been frustrating you. And they just kind of start talking. And the more they talk, the more at ease they get with me. And they tell me about, oh, well, yeah, every now and then we got to get something done. We got to file a report and we go to log in and it won't work. And then they made us start doing this two-factor thing. And we can't ever get that to work. And then we call, you know, and the help desk is usually pretty quick about fixing things for us, but it takes 20, 30 minutes to get a hold of them and to walk through it with them. They're always good about getting it fixed, but it just slows us down. And that just gave me an in to start asking more detailed questions. Like, well, we're trying to figure out what's causing these problems because everything's configured and set up the way it's supposed to be, but y'all are in these different offices scattered all over the country. We need to find out if there's a common denominator that's causing these problems. So let me get a little bit more information about your environment, see if it matches some of these other environments. And then I start asking questions about their Wi-Fi and what's the password that they use. And do they use their corporate login to get in, or do they have a specific password that everybody uses? And they just give it right up. And then I start asking about what kinds of computers you use, what operating system do you have? And I'd always end up with, we're putting together a new portal for people to use to report, you know, some of the issues that they're having and to have a better voice in this. And we want to make sure that the new firewalls that we put in place recently aren't going to cause a problem. Could you do me a favor and open up your browser and see if you can make it to this URL? And again, that previous preparation ahead of time, about a month, I knew I was going to be doing this engagement about a month ahead of time. So I registered a domain name that looked very, very similar to theirs a month ahead of time, so that by the time it came time to do the engagement, it was past that 30-day period where the security appliances start saying, oh, this is a new domain, we're not going to accept emails from here and that kind of thing. So it was a good domain that had been around for a little while. And they're always like, yeah, sure. And they log in. It's like, okay, I just need you to log in with your corporate login. And they just type it in, username, password, not even a question. And this happened call after call after call. And I really attribute it to the preparation in advance, just getting to know the culture of the company, getting to know what the current pulse is, and how they're laid out, the organizational structure and that, so that my pretext was convincing and gave them something that they wanted to do rather than me trying to convince them to do something they wouldn't normally do. It was something they were itching to do. So that really worked really well with that engagement. Another example of that is a recent one that I just did. This is one of those where you've got 2 days to do 25 calls and it's, wow, how am I going to pull this off in 2 days? So again, I knew in advance that I was going to be working with this company. So again, I register a domain that's very similar to theirs, create a login portal that matches their employee self-service portal for HR. And then I just got to know the company a little bit. And this one happened to be a health network of hospitals in a particular geographical area. And all these hospitals had billing and accounting departments in each hospital, but they all reported directly to the central billing and accounting office that the entire network used, which was based in a different location. And then there was, each hospital had their own little calling tree, and then there was the main calling tree for the main network that would get you to the bigger departments. And so I was like, I can use this. I can kind of play these departments off of each other back and forth. And there's oftentimes there's animosities between the smaller HR departments at the hospitals and the bigger HR departments over everybody. There's often tension and stuff there. Maybe I can use that. And then I started figuring out who works there. I found out I was going to have a challenge real quick because a lot of the employees were just, most of the employees I was looking at were women. And so I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do that, how I'm going to impersonate that. So had to come up with some creative pretexts. In addition, I found that their social media accounts, like their Instagram account and their Facebook account, had all kinds of actionable intelligence on them. Instagram in particular, they were posting photos of patients with their caregivers. And then in the text for the photos, they would provide all kinds of information about this patient, including their full name, what kind of procedure they underwent, what their experience was like. And in Facebook, I would find comments and likes from people who had been former patients. And I said, well, I can get some good information about these people and impersonate these patients and maybe get some account information from billing and accounts payable or accounts receivable. So I spent a whole day just picking patients off of these sites, the Instagram and the Facebook page, and I would find their Facebook pages and glean as much information about that person as I could from their Facebook page. And then I go to mylife.com, which provides things like their birth date and all kinds of information. And then I could use three or four of these different social sites together to kind of verify and make sure that I do have their correct current address and their correct current phone number. And, you know, I'd find the birth date on one site, and then I could go to their Facebook and scroll through their wall until I reached that general date range and see if there are people wishing them a happy birthday on that day to verify, yes, this is the same person and that's the correct birth date. That's where most of the work happened. Once I had those profiles, I had about five or six profiles I put together. Then I started making a pretext. For example, there was one, it was a lady who was about 87 years old. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to impersonate a lady, but I can impersonate her son coming to help her with her finances. So that's the pretext I chose. And I knew what her son's name, I knew what his address was, I knew what his phone number was. And so I could spoof my caller ID to look like it was coming from one of those phone numbers. And then I contacted the billing department at the hospital where she had had work done. And they answered, and I said, well, I hope you can help me out. I'm trying to help my mom here. She's an elderly lady, and she's coming on with a little touch of dementia, and she needs some help with finances. We're trying to straighten out her paperwork here. Everything's kind of in a mess, and we know that there was some charges that she owed the hospital for some work that she had done recently. We don't know what they are. We can't find a bill. We've seen some payments in her statement from the bank. But we're hoping that you can help us figure it out. And so they said, yeah, sure. What's her name? And so I gave her her name. And what's her birth date? And I knew that. So I gave the birth date straight up. And what's her address, current address? Gave that. And I was able to do this with confidence because I'd done that work before. And then they asked for the phone number. They asked for everything that I had found. They never once asked for anything that was not public record. And that was where the win was, is I was able to give them, rattle off all the information they wanted. And then they told me the balance. They told me when the service was done. They told me that it had been sent to insurance. And that's probably why we hadn't gotten a bill yet, because insurance still had it and hadn't paid yet. And so I took all this information down and I said, thank you. We're going to try and figure out who the insurance company is and see what's going on there. And we'll get back to you guys. And I hang up. I'd make some other calls with similar pretext. And then about an hour later, I called again and got a different agent. And now I not only have the demographic information of the patient, but I already know the account balance, the account number, the date of service, and I sound a lot more believable. And so I'd use that information and say, hey, we're trying to figure out who her secondary insurance company is. She's not really clear on what's going on, and we can't find any information. Maybe you can, is there any way you can let us know who it is? And sure enough, we went through the identification stuff again. And he said, well, yeah, the secondary insurance looks like it's, and then he gave us the name of the insurance company. And I said, okay, great, thank you. We'll get back to you if we need any more information. And so again, wait an hour, make some other calls, come back again. This time I called the billing department on the main number, so it's a completely different department. They're going to have more information than the hospital does. So I contact them, and this guy, I have enough information at this point, he doesn't even ask me to identify myself. He just gives up everything I'm asking him, tells me what the service was and anything else that I need to know. And similar thing happened with each pretext that we did. I know I had a female consultant working with me. I provided her with a lot of the demographic information for a particular target. And she called up, made like three different calls to different numbers, and eventually found out that she was posing as a patient who had just recently given birth at one of the hospitals. And she was trying to figure out how much she owed, and she didn't realize how appropriate that pretext was going to be for this particular patient. But in the end, she ended up finding out that this patient had three accounts from the birth that were all way past due, and they'd all been sent to collections. They were just giving her all this information. And she finished the call, and she messaged me. She said, I'm done. That was too depressing. I can't do this anymore. I'll do some more calls tomorrow. So yeah, it's just that beforehand preparation and really digging and gathering up as much information about your target as you can just really makes or breaks that social engineering engagement. And those two particular engagements just really drove that point home more than any other.
Thank you, Trevor. And thank you for listening to the Layer 8 podcast. If you want to learn more about us, you can check us out at layer8conference.com or on Twitter at layer8conf. That's C-O-N-F. Thanks very much, and hope you enjoyed it.